At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. I'm Chris Mack. He is Mark Cabali. Should I point? No, I point that way. I point that way for Mark Cabali because that's where the big kaboom is. And this is Cabali and Mack. Welcome in on a Monday morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you that are pretending to be Irish today. Congratulations to those of you cleaning off your laptop screens in the midst of a show.
We do things different here. We're not regimented.
We ain't all fancy.
If I want to have a belt early in the morning,
get out of here. That is not. It's like Diet Coke or something. I bet.
I'm a big fan of the Coke Zero.
Coke's my brother-in-law who was over last night, the retired Pittsburgh cop, massive Coke Zero fan. He's lost like 20 pounds just switching from regular Coke to Coke Zero when he makes his Captain and Cokes.
I saw they just brought out some Dr. Pepper Zero.
Oh, look out.
I'm a Zero guy.
Look out. A big Zero, Mark Cabali. No, that's not what we meant by that at all. So there's plenty of stuff to talk about today, and we're going to talk about it. We got to thank our presenting sponsors, of course, the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com. You're looking to buy or sell a home in Pittsburgh. They're the people to take care of you. And, of course, we appreciate them being a part of Cabali and Mack. There's a new defensive lineman in town. I don't know if it matters or not, or if he's just a warm body. Kaboom and I had, it wasn't really a debate. It was just one of those contests to see how many names we could list, I guess. Something we were talking about late last night, because everybody needs a bracket of something this time of year. Congrats, by the way, Bobby Moe, a 15 seed, headed up the road to Cleveland. We had Andy Toole on the other day from the bus ride home from the Horizon League Championship. Congrats. You made it to the dance. Now you get to play Alabama. Yeah, have fun with that. The big story, though, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins locked up, kaboom. Ain't going nowhere for the next few years in Cincy. The Bengals going to spend a whole lot of money, like $40 million a year on Ja'Marr Chase, a little less than $30 million a year on T. Higgins. And they're convincing everybody that they're still going to keep Trey Hendrickson in the fold somehow, too, even though they granted him the ability to go look for a trade. I mean, they are all in on Burrow and his receivers, I'll tell you that. I mean, I haven't done anything with it the last couple years, but they're all in on it.
Yeah, don't forget about Joe Burrow. He's $46 million against the cap this year.
So you got about almost $100 million tied up between those three?
Yep, so $100 million.
Drop another 30 on Hendrickson if you're going to keep him around, right?
Yep.
There's half your cap.
A lot of one-year players making the league a minimum there. I mean, I guess it's a plan. I don't know if that plan could work. You're basing everything on your quarterback staying healthy. Not only staying healthy, you're basing it on him having a 2024 season again, but taking it a step higher. He has to be an MVP every single year for them to even have a chance. Unless his defense finds something, right?
I think he's that good. Like I do. I've loved Burrow since he was at LSU. But to your point about the defense, like if you got to score 37 every week to win, you're going to have weeks where you're not MVP level. Like it's natural, right? Or where it's going to happen. So I don't know if this is the way to do it, but they're going to try and do it this way, and we'll see if it works or not. I mean. Offense may win a lot of games sometimes, but eventually it sounds a little old school blue collar on me, but like defense still wins championships and you're going to have to stop the other guys eventually.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at their defense right now. I mean, on our lads, which is pretty up to date, I would imagine.
Yeah. They update it daily.
Defensive line, Joseph Asai, BJ Hill, Chris Jenkins. Where's Chris Jenkins? About 200. They have Hendrickson still listed in here. Pratt, Logan Wilson, pretty decent inside guys. DJ Turner, Jordan Battle, Geno Smith, Cam Taylor Britt, Dax Hill.
Geno Stone. That would be something if Geno Smith was pretty strong safety, but I knew what you meant.
Geno Stone.
Yeah.
So that's what you're hoping for. Not only that, you have I think Chase Brown is pretty good on offense. They're good there. Gesicki had a good season last year. They're going to score a lot of points, but you still got Amarius Mims, Cody Ford, Orlando Brown. I mean,
they're going to have to draft offensive line and secondary. That's going to have to be what they do. Draft and offensive line and secondary and have guys make an immediate impact.
Well, it's a plan. It's not bad having this type of talent.
I mean, but at the very least, they've got a quarterback, which is more than some teams can say right now, right? Eh? Hey?
Well, they got one.
Yeah. Magic Mason. Thanks again as well to Southwest Greens for being a part of Cabali and Mac. We appreciate their support as well. I saw Jake the other night. He said, yes, we are slammed. We are busy. We want more, though. By all means, go to southwestgreenspa.com and they are happy to come on out, take a look at your yard, tell you exactly what they can do, whether it's something small, little AstroTurf in the corner around a kid's swing set or something. Maybe it's the whole yard, so you don't have to be out there mowing and spending hundreds of dollars every month in the summer on watering your lawn. They can put in a beautiful artificial surface that looks real and will also be the best-looking yard in the neighborhood. Go to southwestgreenspa.com, and thanks again to them for their support of Cabali and Mac. Can Metcalf and Pickens, for 1 year anyway, just 1 year, that's all I'm asking because we don't know what the hell is going to happen with Pickens after the first year. Can they be, for 1 year, to whoever the quarterback is, what Chase and Higgins are for Burrow? Because they're not paying nearly as much. I mean, Metcalf they're paying a lot to. Pickens is still on the rookie deal, obviously. But that's a damn, that's one thing I think has been a bit of an oversight in the last week. Since they acquired Metcalf, is Metcalf and Pickens, when Pickens is focused, like that's almost as dangerous, if not just as dangerous, a pairing, I think, at wide receiver as Chase and Higgins.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, I think there's a big step down, but that's not saying that they're not in the conversation with the rest of the duos in the league. I'm even talking about the Addisons and Jeffersons and the Godwins and Evans of the world, and there's about 10 of those like that. I think they're right in that, but I think Chase and Higgins are on a different level, a lot because of the quarterback. But yeah, man.
But take the wide receivers in isolation. Like, just take the wide receivers and just put a nameless gray face, as Mike Tomlin would say, at quarterback. I think that they've got as much ability and as much talent as Chase and Higgins.
Yes, I mean, but Chase and Higgins have been there, done that. Pickens really hasn't been there, done that for an entire season. I'm not discounting his talent or his athleticism, but you have to be right. I mean, they got, you know, for a lack of better term, the poor man version of the Bengals. I mean, they got arguably a better tight end. I think Freiermuth's better than Gesicki at this point. I think both of those receivers are a little bit better than Pickens and Metcalf. The quarterback's the huge difference right here. I think the Steelers' offensive line is better. So if we're going player for player, they're right there with them. And obviously the Steelers' defense is much better than them. But, I mean, I'm talking myself into why not for the Bengals? Do something different. Load up on offense, and if you got to score 60 a game, I mean, I may be overstretching things here. If you got to score 40 a game, okay, fine. We can do it.
Yeah, and try not to get the quarterback killed at the same time, because once the quarterback gets hurt, it kind of all goes down the drain, despite what we saw from what's-his-face, the backup a couple years ago.
I mean, people were calling Bill Belichick crazy when he was going – Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski, and whatever other tight ends they had. And it was hard to adjust to that. So
do the Steelers – I still see people over the weekend talking about the Steelers having to take a wide receiver early. You still think they got to take one in the first three rounds at some point?
Yeah,
because Pickens – look, they're not going to – George Pickens is going to want to, whether he's worth it or not, people can argue about, obviously. He's going to want to get something close to Higgins money now, I would think. We can argue definitely, depending on the year he has this year, whether he's worth that or not. But like the Steelers, I don't think, are going to pay him that. So this is probably his last year as a Steeler, right? So you need to find somebody who can slot in next to Metcalf for the next 3 or 4 years after Pickens is gone.
Yeah. I mean, unless he doesn't have a great year and you already know that a dozen teams are not going to be interested in him because they weren't interested in him out of the draft. Maybe he comes back on a one-year deal. So I wouldn't quite write him off as a one-and-done type of year for the Steelers, but I don't think they extend him in season, anything to that. No, absolutely not.
And if he hits the market, let's be honest, it's going to be like Najee going to the Chargers this year. It's going to be very similar. It's going to be a guy who maybe didn't fulfill his promise in Pittsburgh, but people still look at him and see more ceiling and think he can do more in their offense.
Or he could put up T. Higgins numbers and get paid $30 million.
So either way, he's probably not back, right?
I would assume so. I mean, that's fine. You get a potential third-round compensatory for it. Okay, great.
And that's what I was going to say is I don't think you necessarily need to make that receiver pick this year. Like, if you happen to have a receiver fall to you at a spot where it makes sense, okay, that's great. But you essentially spent your second-round pick on a wide receiver when you went out and traded for Metcalf.
Yeah, but, I mean, they were assuming Roman Wilson was going to be a guy that could contribute last year, and you see how that worked out.
Wasn't he healthy by the end of the year? Why was he not involved at all?
It was strange. From the Colts game on, I think he got hurt again after that or hurt. Who knows?
Right.
He looked good. He was warming up, practicing a lot. But a lot of times when you miss that amount of time, it's very hard to
jump on the moving train.
I didn't want to say it. It is hard to get back. I mean, he's not the first one. I mean, Ryan Shazier was great 14th overall pick. He got hurt his rookie year, and he came back, and basically Keith Butler says he needs to actually work a little harder before he gets a starting job back, if you recall that. So he's not the first to do that. So, but you have Calvin Austin in the final year of his deal, Pickens in the final year of his deal, Roman Wilson hasn't proved anything, and Skowronek and Scotty Miller role players. So you need something. If you draft one next year, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a plug-and-play guy.
No, that's true. But I just think it's indicative of how an Arthur Smith offense values wide receivers, which is beyond the number one or maybe the number two, not that much at all, right? Like 3 through 5 or beyond on the depth chart, on the wide receiver depth chart in an Arthur Smith offense are just kind of like, they could all be Skowroneks and Millers. I don't agree with it, but it seems to be that's the valuation an Arthur Smith offense puts on the wide receiver position.
Oh, let's see. I mean, the key to a good offensive coordinator is to be able to adjust of what you have. And obviously the strength of this team right now is wide receivers as we sit here, right, as we speak. So you better get those guys involved. You're spending $30 million bucks for DK Metcalf and you have a talent like George Pickens. You better use them. I mean, even Freiermuth, what's he, 12 a year? You better use those guys because you're paying a lot of money to this trio that sit there and say, we're a running team, run first down, run second down, just convert on third down to keep the change moving. Doesn't seem like a plan that would carry over to this year.
Right. You don't pay DK Metcalf $30 million to be a possession receiver entirely. You need him to make big plays, catch the ball downfield. Same thing goes to, you don't draft George Pickens in the second round, even if he's a first round talent, but a late round head case. You don't draft him in the second round to just, you know, move down the field 3.5 yards at a time. Like, you just, it's not the way any modern day NFL offense should be built. It should be built around a quarterback, and we still have no earthly idea who the starting quarterback is going to be for this team. Kaboom, come week one. Could be Aaron Rodgers. Who knows? We're day 8 now of Rodgers watch. And I think it feels like, anyway, most Steeler fans are now at the point where they're like, whatever. I have to emotionally disengage from this conversation because I can't talk about Aaron Rodgers anymore. Russ is still out there, presumably not really enticed by anything the Cleveland Browns or New York Giants said to him. And Mason, like you mentioned earlier, Magic Mason, Rudolph with his nose so bright, is back in the fold. Is there, let's say there's a world where, I don't know, maybe Rodgers decides to retire, okay? And maybe Russ says, you know what? I got tired of sitting around too, and he signs a deal in New York or Cleveland. Is there a world where Mason is the starting quarterback week one?
I mean, I think it's we're looking at it like that's not a long shot right now, right? As we're sitting here today.
And it's nothing against Mason. I think everybody knows we're both Mason Rudolph fans.
Like, right? He can throw the deep ball. I mean,
he can throw the deep ball.
If you can throw the deep ball and you got two deep ball threats, I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, I would imagine the thought process behind Aaron Rodgers would be we wanted to get him in here because he might give us the experience that we want in the playoffs, even though that was 15 years ago or whatever. But he's been there, done that. None of the guys, as in Rudolph, I mean, I guess Russ has.
Mason went up into Buffalo for a playoff game a couple years ago. Delayed by a day because of some snow, right?
That was terrible, terrible. But terrible weather. Oh, man. I don't even want to talk about that. I changed my hotel 7 times that week.
Wait. What happened?
Because you're supposed to go up to one day, then no.
Right.
Then I'm like, I better change it when the snow was coming to one really close to the there's not many options close to Orchard Park, right?
No, it's in the middle of nowhere. So
it was some kind of like Motel 6. You know, pay by the hour type of place, right?
Vibrating beds. You drop a quarter in the vibrating bed.
First comes to worst, it's a half a mile away. So as soon as I hit submit on that one, of course, they move it to the next day. Then I'm like, okay, I can move. I better get out of town early. I better move it to Erie. Then I just said, the heck with it. I'm just coming home after the game, in and out. Boom, boom, boom. So it was terrible.
You drove up and back the same day for that game.
You know what I did? I did end up staying in Erie because I wanted to get out of Orchard Park.
Right.
Because snow was supposed to be coming more again that night. Ironically enough, the most snow there was in Erie when I woke up that morning. So
I feel like if you just did a travel blog, like traveling with Kaboom, would be massive. The stories we would get about trying to get, you know, the Steelers and people who cover them are relatively lucky most years in that, like, half the away schedule is usually drivable, right? Like, you're going to Cincy, Baltimore, Cleveland, maybe a Buffalo, maybe a New York.
Yeah, there's 10 or 11 places you can drive to. Indy,
yeah. DC. Detroit, you know, even Chicago is, you know, it's not a fun drive
if you really feel like going, but there's a lot.
Right, even Atlanta if you really want to stretch it, right?
If you want to,
yeah. So there's plenty of places you can drive to from here, but man, the stories that come out of those drives, they sound amazing. The drivable trips.
Well, the one. I think a couple of days before that was the Baltimore trip. It was just miserable. Once I got through Breezewood, I never broke 8 miles an hour. I had to park like a mile away, and it was pouring down rain, and I didn't have an umbrella.
Of course.
So I walked into the press box dripping wet. First person I see, Ron Cook. And he just starts laughing hysterically at me, just dripping.
Oh, Ron Cook just laughing.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know how you have it.
I've had that queued up for weeks waiting to use it. The Ron Cook laugh.
That's basically what I did. So let's hope that's not the case here in 2 weeks when I fly to Atlanta, then to West Palm Beach. But, I mean, then LAX, man. I couldn't find the rental car, not the rental car, the Uber stand of my life depended on LAX.
They didn't have signs or anything?
Well, it was the worst airport ever. LA, you know, no, I'm not an LA fan.
By the way, speaking of LA and Southern California, one final congrats to our guy, Larry Yellen, who won that autographed Sidney Crosby photo plaque. It got shipped out this morning, I believe, by our friends at First and Goal Collectibles, who are also... They take care of Cabali and Mac subscribers, which is exactly what we're doing with the autographed Jerome Bettis jersey now as well. Oh, an autographed Jerome Bettis jersey, you say? You haven't heard about this yet? Yep, it's all over our social media. All you got to do, find the giveaway posts, which we've put up on all of our social media, repost them, tag three friends in the repost, and make sure you're all subscribed to Cabali and Mac, because once we hit 1,000 subscribers, we will draw a number, a name, and give away the autographed Jerome Bettis jersey from our friends at First and Goal Collectibles out at South Hills Village. They do a great job, and we appreciate them being a part of the Cabali and Mac family as well. I checked this morning, Kaboom, we were at, it was like a slot machine, 777 subscribers.
We're up about 150 or so over the weekend?
Yeah, it was a good weekend with Jeremy Piven stopping by and Andy Toole last week. Listen, a lot of big names coming by the Cabali and Mac show.
Those who are listening, the more you get your buddies to sign up, the quicker you can get this Bettis thing rolling.
And then once we're up over 1,000, we get the winner for the Bettis autographed jersey. Trust me, if that's what they come up with for 1,000 subscribers, who knows what they could cook up First and Goal.
It could be lunch with Cabali and Mac at Primanti's.
Or Yoli's, who knows?
I was there last night.
Yeah, I mean, watch Kaboom put a hurting on the Pappy Nola.
I just went straight pie.
Yeah?
I hate that. I really hate this. Contemplating between two things. Should I get the pizza? Should I get the Pappy Nola? And whatever I choose, I was disappointed that I didn't choose the other one. But if I would have chose the other one, I would have been disappointed if I chose this one. So I'm in a no-lose, or in this case, a win-win situation, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're
great
both.
Pie, but I'm thinking, maybe I should have got this now.
No, whatever you get there is fantastic. You can't sit there and regret. No regrets.
Oh, you should see that. They got a Lenten menu up there now. It's like something crazy.
Oh, they have that massive fish sandwich. It's like the size of four fish sandwiches, right?
It was what's that called? Crab Rangoon.
Oh, some Crab Rangoon. Those are good.
No, man. It's on the sandwich, I think.
Oh, they put Crab Rangoon on the... Jesus, I didn't realize that. So. Benny's a madman. So could Mason be QB1 week one? Like, again, in a world where Rodgers and Russ both bail, I don't know. There's not the Jameis Winstons of the world. Like, we started to see the backup quarterbacks come off the board. Cooper Rush signed over the weekend in Baltimore to be Lamar's backup. Did Mariota sign somewhere? I missed that.
I believe he signed somewhere.
Okay. So they're starting to come off the board a little bit.
Like, of all these guys you're talking about, they're coming off
the board. Oh, he's going back to Washington, Mariota. Okay.
Don't you feel fortunate to have Mason at this point compared to some of these other second-tier guys? I think so.
We are both Mason Rudolph fans, proponents, supporters. So, like, I think each of us look at Mason the same way. He's got the deep ball. I think he probably didn't get enough. I think the plug was pulled too quickly on him the year that he and Hodges were behind Ben, and Ben got injured. He had a bad second. A couple
things happened that year.
He had a bad second half in Cincinnati and got yanked for it. Duck Hodges took over the next month and cost him a playoff spot.
Well, he got yanked.
That simple.
The week before, they got slapped overside the head by a helmet.
Right. That's what I mean. So multiple things happened to the guy that I think if they don't happen, he's probably fine finishing out that year. They go to the playoffs as a wild card. He's already got that year of wild card experience under his belt. Who knows what happens in the Trubisky Pickett realm if Mason had been allowed to be the starter throughout the remainder of that, 2021 season? Whatever year that Ben got hurt. All the years are running together now. I'm sorry.
Well, he came back. He came back the COVID year. COVID year was what?
Right. 20.
He came back that year, so 19. I mean, even in Tennessee last year, they didn't want him to be the quarterback. They were going to give Levis every opportunity possible, and they would throw Mason in for a game or two. And once again, a very flawed team, considering they got the number one overall pick.
I'm kind of curious to see, like, and again, I don't know if it's certainly, like you said, seems like the odds are increasing by the day with Rodgers and Rust still floating out there and the Steelers not signing either one. But if Mason got any kind of opportunity in this offense, like, I am kind of curious to see what a Mason Rudolph, who has no F's left to give, kind of, because there isn't the same pressure on him maybe this time around, because he's familiar with the city, he's familiar with the organization. He might not be totally familiar with Arthur Smith's offense, but that's neither here nor there, I don't think. Who would walk in and, I don't know, I think we'd get a very different sort of, like, there were times where it felt like Mason played a little scared the first opportunity he got, where he was a little tentative. And I think he'd admit that because, you know, it was his first experience being a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's kind of been through all that now, and it's been a few years. So I'd be curious to see what he'd do in an opportunity where, like I said, there were no F's left to give. You kind of come in, sling the ball around, see what happens.
I don't know if they're comfortable with him being the number one if they have to, but I don't think that's what they.
I don't think that's the end game. Yeah, the goal. It's a good point.
Obviously, Aaron, and you see a lot of reports over this weekend of, yeah, I've talked to more than a dozen people that said Aaron Rodgers didn't tell you anything. So you're just speculating. You're just totally speculating through three, probably four people removed. You don't know. Don't pretend like you know, because nobody knows.
All right, we get it.
I'm off my soapbox. You see constant reports, and they're just total speculation.
Because that's all it can be at this point. Because, like you said, nobody knows exactly what he's going to do besides him. And I can imagine what it's like being inside that brain right now as he tries to decide what to do. You mentioned L.A., and we mentioned Najee earlier. Najee is in L.A. now. He is a Los Angeles Charger, big Naj. And he kind of threw – did you think he was – I thought he did it in a way where he was trying to avoid throwing shade at the Steelers directly.
He did it twice. He also ripped on him for not using him correctly. Well, I've never always been used correctly. Okay, you said you caught the ball in Alabama and you never played for any other team. Who are you talking about?
I mean, he could have just come out and said the Steelers when he talked about the facility being super nice.
Not all the facilities are like this. You know, it reminds me of Alabama. Okay, you were at Alabama. You were at L.A. What's the only one left? Of course that's what you're talking about.
Are you offended?
Not offended. I don't really care. It's just if I'm having my opening press conference, I'm not going out of my way saying, "Pooh, look at where I was at before, man. What terrible facilities." And that's maybe probably why I stunk. Oh, I'm like, hey, what a great place. I love this place, and move on.
You took like a sentence and added like three paragraphs based on inference below that.
Covering him 4 years, you have to read between the lines, and you know what he was talking about.
Okay, so he didn't. He's impressed by the Chargers facility, which I imagine hope so. Has to be nicer.
It's a billion-dollar place. It was built 2 years ago. Of course it's going to be perfect.
Okay, so what's wrong with him mentioning that?
I'll just say this place, not say, trust me, not every place is like it. Not Alabama, but trust me, they're not all like this. I mean, we've went over this ad nauseum, man. The Steelers can't do anything about it right now. They got to move.
Well, if that's what's required, then that's what they need to actually get to doing.
You've got a lease for five more years. You pretty much can't do anything. And I keep saying, Old McKeesport, the stomping grounds. Lots of nice flat land where the old mill was. I'm sure you can get it cheap there, Art. Give McKeesport a call.
Yeah.
Go down there. Hey, what was the South Side or wherever they're at now before they built it, right?
It was J&L.
Across the river where all these new tech companies are going in. What was that like 5-10 years ago?
It's all brownfields, all old steel mills. I remember I remember riding the bus, old man story time. I remember my mom and I riding the bus from Baldwin down to the South Side so she could get me ice skating lessons at the old Neville Ice Arena. And the bus we would take would sometimes go down Carson Street past the old J&L plant when it was just like a big empty ramshackle, rusted out husk of a metal building.
Is it the 61C bus?
No, that's not the 61C. That one in particular was the 51B, which was the Churchview Spencer Avenue route. That one would go that way. 51C would take you all the way down like 18th Street, and you'd get off at the top of 18th Street and you'd take the steps down the back way to the old Neville Ice Arena.
Right here on the show, I have to admit, I have never stepped foot on a public bus like that.
Freaking cake.
I wouldn't even know what to do.
Cake eater. Cake eater from North Bell Vernon. Cake eater.
Oh, no, we just walked. I mean,
man, my first job when I was 14 years old, summer job, was downtown because my mom worked at the Hilton downtown. Now the Wyndham, the big hotel right there in the middle of the city.
I got married there.
Oh, fancy. Cake eater got married at the Hilton.
There's a long story of why.
Why?
Well, I was supposed to get married in someplace up in Moon, Robert Morris, and they decided to sell the place 3 months before my wedding. So
they didn't honor the contract?
No, but they then stepped in and said I was bugging the living hell out of them.
So they walked your entire wedding block and wedding party to
– Yeah, everything. It was like – It was late April. They informed us that they sold the hotel that was at to Robert Morris.
I remember this. Yeah.
So it was 3 months. Jesus. So I got screwed. I forget what hotel it was. They helped us find a place and paid the difference and all that. So it's the only place we could find, man.
It's nice down there.
I said, you know what? I wasn't going to use a limo, so now I got to. We'll pay for that, too. You know,
Just kept twisting the knife. Yes. Good work by you, Kaboom. Yes. So when I was 14, my mom worked at the Hilton. And if you were the kid of someone who worked at the hotel, you got first dibs on the jobs working the festival stands during Arts Festival, 4th of July, and Regatta. So, you know, if you bought some chicken on a stick or whatever it was, or I don't even remember all the stuff, hot dogs, you know, burgers, all that stuff from one of those stands right there on the corner in the middle of town, most likely you bought it from a young Chris Mack who got his first job down there when he was 14 years old. We'd have to ride the bus down there. No, there wasn't anybody driving us down to work at 9 a.m. in the middle of the summer. We had to wake our asses up. Me and Scott Yoder, who lived down the street,
Scott Yoder.
Former Carlinton, former head football coach at Carlinton. We would ride the bus, the old 51B downtown.
Well, what I'm sorry. What we get to is I need to move to McKeesport. I'm not going to Cranberry.
Ninth Ward.
There's no Cranberry anymore. Everybody took up all the land.
What if the Steelers practice facility was in the Ninth Ward of McKeesport?
What's wrong with that?
Find guys hanging out at Beamer's after practice.
Yeah, I've never been in Beamer's, but I've been in.
Neither have I.
I've been in the building before when it was like a bar or something.
Beamer's a place where they perform elaborate dance routines. For those of you not in the know, sometimes partially clad, sometimes not at all. It's artistic dance. It's expression. That's, you know,
with no clothes on.
It's a very artistic, though. You know, you have to be an artiste to really fully understand it. So you don't like Najee throwing shade at the facility, but let's be honest, the facility is poop now.
Yes, I agree.
It's a call. If that were just Pitt down there, that'd be a nice D1 facility, right?
They outgrew it. I mean, 25, 27 years ago when they thought up this plan, it was cutting edge, state of the art, and now it's just not. What they screwed up was that they didn't purchase anything past the pit fields.
Yeah.
All down toward like the Baldwin towards the Pages area.
Yeah.
That's all like office buildings. If they were to purchase that too, then
they'd have unlimited room for growth.
There's no parking. The players have to double park and give their keys to the Shaw up in front, the front door guy, to move their cars to let other people out.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. it's just.
But you can't tell me that an NFL organization doesn't have the money to work out a deal with Pitt today if they wanted to let Pitt take over the facility, so that they could break the lease and move out to the suburbs somewhere if they wanted to, or like you said, maybe to just a different, you know, across the river, maybe. Hazelwood.
I think the Hazelwood stuff is pretty much taken up now. I think a lot of people have been developed and purchased there. Okay,
wherever. They but could find a way if they wanted to make the move happen.
But this is going to take time. You need a locker room facility. You need an indoor and you need a field outdoor. How long do you think that takes?
I'm sure it takes a couple years to make that work.
They got absolutely 5 years left on their lease. So you would think you would be hearing something here within the next couple of years.
Well, they could make it happen faster, I think. They're an NFL franchise.
They're like kick Pitt out. Now, you know, Pitt's name's on the building at UPMC.
They don't need to kick Pitt out. They need to tell Pitt, hey, it's your building now. We're moving to someplace much nicer and much bigger.
We'll love it.
And then it works out for everybody because the Steelers get a nice new fancy place. And it probably will be out in the North Hills, out in Cranberry somewhere, because there is space out there. Where is it going to be? You're just mad because we have to drive all the way out to Cranberry?
I got one for you.
Where? South Point?
The old Century 3 Mall.
Right in our backyard, buddy. I love it.
Got it. It's a lot of land there, a lot of acreage.
It's also a bitch to get to.
So what?
You think Aaron Rodgers wants to sit in traffic on 51 after he's done practicing?
Move to Baldwin.
Aaron Rodgers buying a house behind South Hills Country Club is what I'm here for.
I think a lot of some rookies, some younger players have. Isn't there townhouses in Baldwin somewhere? I think a lot of
over at the old Holly Hill golf course. They turned that into townhomes. But like, come on. They want big houses, big land. They want big facility. I don't think they're building it at the old Century 3 Mall site the idea.
Century 3 Mall. You can take the back way through Portview.
There you go. That's what everybody wants to do.
Roseburg.
Is drive down 837 on their way home from practice. We got off.
No, so you're saying it's a little bit more complicated than just move.
No, if you move someplace out in Cranberry, bang, you get it done in like 2 or 3 years.
Get sponsors. You got to get the land. You got to get the plans. You got to get – I mean, it's just not simple. You just don't put a building up and throw a sheet of ice and say go.
That's what the Penguins did is what you're saying?
I'm not saying the Penguins didn't do it right, but it's a lot more complicated, I think, for an NFL team like I've mentioned.
All right.
Facility. It's an indoor facility. It's a practice fields. So you need three different.
It's like get out on the practice field, kids. Who's this Daniel Ekwale guy they got from New England, and does he matter at all, or is this just role like
player. Veteran yeah. role player? Throw him in there. They got a bunch of guys like that. Pretty good at finding guys to just, you know, fill a
He's
hole.
He's an older Isaiah Loudermilk, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, you got a bunch of those. You got the Loudermilks. You got the
Leal
Lowry's. Leals, you got the Logan Lees, who was the guy they liked last year in the draft, but got hurt, and he could have played last year, but they gave him a red shirt year. I don't think they anticipate any of these guys being a starter.
That's why I was asking. This guy started like 12 games for New England last year, I think. Yeah, now New England sucked.
Yeah, New England was pretty bad.
So he's pure backup special teams.
He's a guy, if you give him 15, 20 snaps a game, it would be great if he makes the team. And, you know, the Eagles are a team that a lot of people are following that model. Just keep firing defensive linemen at you. Now, you might need guys better than Loudermilk and
yeah,
and all these guys. And that could be the case. But I've learned this in the past, and a wise man once told me this, is you never can have too many Samoans on your team.
Was his name Paul? Is that who told you that?
No.
That wise man?
Which is true. Those are different breeds. No, I mean, nothing negative. They're tough guys. So if I'm going to have a defensive lineman, give me a Samoan.
That's not a bad call. Yeah. Thanks to Impact HVAC. Go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. They'll make sure you're taken care of. It's chilly out there this morning, but spring is here in a big way, which means summer is not too far behind it. Get your AC tuned up so that when you go to turn it on for the first time later this spring, early summer, it doesn't go and you're left sweltering inside your house. Haas, get it taken care of now. Get it tuned up. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Find them there. Phone number's there. Website is there. You get all hooked up so that you can schedule that service before it gets hot out. They'll also do emergency calls. If you have one, reach out to them. We just had one a few weeks ago here. If you listen to the podcast, every time we're on, you've probably heard me talk about the furnace going kaput a couple weeks ago. Tony and his guy Sunshine got out here, got it fixed in a few hours. Just like that. And so they can do the same for you. Impact HVAC PGH. On Facebook, we thank them for supporting Kabali and Mac. Speaking of tough SOBs, I don't know what made you think of this, but look, it's bracket time, right? Everybody's talking about brackets because it's college basketball time. What compelled you to text me last night or yesterday afternoon about the biggest badass March Madness bracket of all time, badass Steelers?
There you go. Well, it's bracket time. Now, I always talk about this for a good 20 years now. It's more sort of like, what was that movie called with Mel? Is it Mel Gibson in the future? But I forget what it's called. Mad Max. You know, two men enter, one man leave, right?
Right.
I always said if you close the Steelers' locker room and lock it up and only one person would emerge alive, who would it be? So this is just a playoff of that. I'm like, it's hard to tell. It doesn't really, in that regards, it doesn't tell you who the toughest guy is because, you know, 20 people would jump on James Harrison so just to get him out. So that doesn't mean – so a bracket pretty much makes it a fair game.
A one-on-one affair. One-on-one. Yes. Who's our overall number one seed? All-time Steelers badasses. Who's our number one seed?
I mean, Joe Green did just, like, kick somebody in the nuts one time, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. People will immediately, like Ryan just did on X, they would immediately say James Harrison or Jack Lambert. Like, and it's hard to argue against either one of those as a number one seed.
Yeah,
until you realize that you got Joe Green involved.
I'm guessing we're talking hand to hand combat, right? We're not bringing weapons into this, are we?
No weapons allowed. No one's allowed. There are no chair swinging allowed either. Richard Huntley.
Big Dick Huntley. No, I mean, you have to go Mean Joe. I mean, would you? Yeah. I wouldn't mess with Mean Joe right now, let alone.
No.
30 years ago when he's the badass of all badasses.
I've said this before. There are two people left in Pittsburgh sports who I still get nervous to speak to at all. There's only two. And they'll always be that way for whatever reason. In my head, I just get nervous with the idea of speaking to them directly. One is Mario Lemieux, because he just feels like royalty. You know, he just carries himself with this regal quality. And the other is Joe Green. Doesn't matter how old Joe Green is, I get nervous to like say hello because like you said, even now, he could kick both our asses at the same time.
I'm doing, you know what? Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think we should just do the final four. Who our final four would be? I think I would have to go with Joe Green.
Okay.
There's just so many guys. Like a guy like John Kolb, who was a strong man. Right?
Yeah, any of those late 70s, early 80s offensive. Mike Webster. Badass. Hines Ward, who has been mentioned.
He'd fight dirty. I think I like that.
Hines Ward?
I think he would fight dirty.
Yeah, no. Ask what's his name from Cincinnati how it works out not having your head on a swivel around.
I mean, I think just the intimidation factor would have to be Lambert. I told you this one, and I think this is the ultimate badass, and I think it's Maurkice Pouncey.
Really?
Yeah. I agree that
in a one-on-one fight, like, there's not a lot of people coming out alive if they're just sent into a cage with Pouncey.
Yeah, Pouncey is just a tough SOB. One tough SOB.
Any current guys on the active roster?
Well, Sam Malu I wouldn't mess with.
Oh, that's a good call.
Cam Hayward just got natural power and strength, but I think he's more of a pacifist when it comes to personality, right?
Yeah, I don't think he'd fight dirty either, like you said about some of the other guys.
Like Minka has to be up there. I think Minka has a very mean streak in him.
There's a mean streak there, definitely. But I don't know if that's enough.
From last year would have to be Quan Alexander. I think he would have just.
Really?
Yeah, I was afraid of that guy. Absolutely.
Why were you afraid of Quan Alexander?
I don't know, man.
He's just like had that feeling, vibe. Just that vibration of he might go off at any point.
If we're just talking about straight fights, too, I mean, Antonio, tough pound for pound fighter. He's like Oscar De La Hoya.
Antonio Brown?
Yeah, very pound for pound strong.
Oh, yeah. But now you're getting into, like, you put Antonio Brown in a cage with James Harrison, for example. Who's coming out? James Harrison, right? Like, he'd wait for AB to come at him, and then he'd just wrap them up and just ground and pound.
Another low key, Brett Kiesel.
Oh, Kiesel's just a mammoth of a man.
Yeah, place he's out there probably like killing moose with his bare hands in Wyoming or something. So
he is, you know, he kind of resembles, you said one big SOB. Yeah. He kind of resembles Braun Strowman a little bit. There's some similarities there between Kiesel and Strowman.
Ike was a tough guy.
Well, now you're just naming people. No, Ike's
tough guy. Coming out right now, I would probably say Pouncey Lambert. Well, Lambert was 215, so what are we talking about here?
But he's maniacal. He's like a wild animal. Like, he would do whatever it would take.
I got it. Here's my four. Joe Green, Jack Lambert, Maurkice Pouncey, and Marvell Smith.
Marvell Smith. Marvell's
the one was quiet, but he would have ripped your head off.
Quiet but deadly, like your farts, huh?
He's one of those guys I was afraid to talk to, too. I'm like, I don't know if I want to talk to this guy.
Okay. My four are all going to be from the defensive side of the ball. So maybe this is just cliche.
Big Ben.
I mean, he broke his nose at one time. Hello, Nada. James Harrison, Joe Green, Jack Lambert. And I can't believe we didn't bring him up. Greg Lloyd, absolute lunatic.
Somebody told me he's not paid for his disposition.
Yeah, yeah. His T-shirt told you that. So those would be my four.
I might have to take Lambert out. He's too small.
Oh my God. Lambert in his prime is not coming out of a cage alive. Like, he's an animal.
6'2", 210 pounds.
Okay. That's still big and strong enough to mess somebody up.
I don't know. I left Debo out. I don't want to leave Debo out.
Leave Debo out. Debo is, if not for Joe Green, Debo is the first overall seed.
Pounce. I might give Pounce a number one in the East.
Jeez. You love your offensive lineman, don't you?
Pounce is just a monster.
He's a bad dude. I'm not going to argue that. But you put him in a cage with.
What about Villanueva? Where would he fit at?
Oh, good call. Big dude, agile. I still wouldn't have him in my final four. My final four would be Debo, Mean Joe, Greg Lloyd. I get it. No weapons allowed. No weapons.
Weapons right here.
No, that's fine. I think this is worth. I think we could build a bracket out of this.
We probably could. We can call ourselves Joey Bag of Donuts. Doesn't he do the media brackets?
That's the guy that does it.
And the same person like wins every time, Pomp, because everybody loves Pomp.
Yeah, because exactly.
Yeah.
You can't not love Pomp.
That one year they had like the most hated media member, and I think Rossi won.
Really?
I think so.
Wow. Wow. I know Rob rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
I think Rob wore that as a badge of honor.
But you would think, I can think of at least two or three people who I thought would win that over him.
Who would that be there, Mr. Mac?
A couple people off the top of my head, just based on what listeners and viewers think. I mean, definitely.
They work in Professor Plaza?
Maybe one of them. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Another one probably doesn't. Anyway, thanks again for joining us here at Cabali and Mac. Don't forget, we're going to start. Yes, the Bettis jersey thing is going on. You want to make sure you get subscribed to the podcast. Repost the giveaway tweet. We'll put another one out there today. Tag three friends in it. Make sure you're all subscribed to the show. As soon as we get to 1,000 subscribers, which looks like it could be relatively soon, the way things are going, we will pick a follower, a subscriber at random to then win the autographed Jerome Bettis jersey. But also on social media over the next couple of days and weeks, we've got to start rolling out the free opportunities to win that Whitehall Fire Hall raffle for the 2025 Ford F-150 STX that they are giving away. Those tickets cost $45. You can buy one right now at whitehallfire301.com. Again, I'll tweet the link out later. And if Cabali's feeling nice, he'll repost it. But we'll also be giving away, thanks to the Dan Heck team and Dan Heck personally, some free tickets for that raffle to win the 2025 Ford F-150. So keep an eye out for that as well. No, you can't win it, Mark.
Why not?
Because that would be, what do we call, a bad look for one of the co-hosts of the show to win the prize that's being given away to the listeners and viewers.
Is there any difference between that and asking for free tickets?
There would be a sense of impropriety. What do you... Yeah, there's a massive difference. I don't understand your hang up about asking people for things either. Why do you have a hang up about asking people for things? You want everybody to offer them to you. Sometimes you got to just put yourself out there and ask, bud.
And then you get blown off.
Sometimes you get blown off. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get tickets to stuff. The only way you find out is to ask. The only way you find out. But keep an eye on social media.
Maybe Dan Heck would just send me a ticket then.
Maybe not. I don't know if he likes us that much. Billy with a great point, by the way, on X. We forget that Rocky Blyer, we didn't mention him either. He should be near the final four as well. If we're talking badasses, it's a badass human being, The Rock. Plus, the original Rock.
Yeah, plus he's The Rock. Speaking of that, What are we looking at? 3 o'clock? Raw today?
Oh, that's right. Raw is early today, isn't John it? Because they're over in Europe.
John Cena.
I hope he goes back to rapping John Cena.
My kid wants him to.
That would be hilarious.
He keeps saying, we finally could hear Thuganomics today. I'm like, I don't know if he's going to do Thuganomics.
That would be fantastic.
Well, apparently his bald spot's now gone. I don't know how that happened.
It's the magic. Bill. Yeah. He got the Ted Danson treatment. You remember that? Ted Danson on Cheers, Sam Malone. He used to have a massive bald spot and they cover it up for the show. I remember it being a big deal back in the 80s.
Married to Whoopi Goldberg?
I don't know if they were actually married or not. No, I don't know. I didn't care enough to actually go check it out. Anyway. Keep an eye on the social media. More chances to win the Bettis jersey from First and Gold Collectibles. More chances to win that F-150 from Whitehall Fire Hall. And maybe eventually we'll have a quarterback too. Sound like a plan, Kaboom?
It's always a plan until you get smacked in the face.
This is true. Thanks again for joining us. Go have a wonderful Monday, Pittsburgh. We appreciate every single one of you. Okay, this has been Cabali and Mac.